In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In all the years that these readings have presented themselves for preacherly comment, I have studiously avoided the Revelation text. This great ordeal thing really troubles me. But the fact is that the death last week of Rachel Held Evans, an influential Christian writer who died at the age of 37 after being in a medically induced coma, brought back a painful memory. It was hard to avoid the great ordeal. It was 3:42 that morning, 3:42 a.m., when the phone rang. I could barely understand the voice at the other end of the line. Joe managed to say, "Judy's in intensive care. It's a brain aneurysm." Judy at the time was not even 30. Joe and Judy had two small children and were active leaders in the parish. How could this possibly be, I was thinking as I threw on clothes. Taking in the news felt like drinking fire and feeling it burn all the way inside me. Judy was in a medically induced coma for 11 agonizingly long days. Judy's body and Joe's mind and spirit were all under assault. I frankly lost count of how many of those tough God conversations Joe and I had during that time while we waited and waited and waited. Joe was frantic, angry, scared to death. God, what God? I'm not even sure there is a God. I wasn't sure in the first place, and this hasn't helped. I went to church to be with the family, and that's all, he railed. If there is a God, this wouldn't have happened. Judy's too young. The kids and I need her. If there is a God, it's God's job to keep us and those we love safe, free from harm, out of suffering's way. Lord, if you had been there, this wouldn't have happened. Well, clearly no one was there. Jesus better bring Judy back, or he can just forget. Have you been there? Have you thought those things? I have. And many of us wonder, often during the Easter season. I suspect there's a little bit of a doubting Thomas in every one of us. And there's nothing like suffering and pain to bring those doubts to the fore, even on Mothering Sunday, which is what I prefer to call it. Sure, the God I grew up with loved me. Yes, Jesus loved me. That part was great. And mostly, I believed it. But then there was the other part. I thought if I believed hard enough and said my prayers every night, the pain part wouldn't touch me. But I seemed unable to escape it. So like Joe, as I grew up, I too began to have all those nagging questions and doubts and angers. Now, as an adult, I have learned what I'm sure all of us here know. Pain and harm and suffering do not go away. They all seem to be part of the package that we call human life. I am quite confident that there is no one who could raise their hand here and say, "Oh no, not me, I've never known any suffering." If you've been a mother, or if you have mothered in any way, you know that that is one job that doesn't come free of pain. And in case you have any questions, just ask Mary, Jesus' mother. In the reading from the Revelation to John, those standing around the throne surely know this. They have all had their share of suffering, all kinds of suffering. They have had no shelter, some of them, that they could call home. Others have experienced starvation, thirst, scorching heat. Still others have probably been traumatized by abuse, neglect, or violence. God only knows what else might complete that package. On this Mothering Sunday, I can't help but think of the mothers who have suffered as their children who have been murdered or incarcerated or taken from them. Theirs has not been and may not be today a hallmark Mother's Day. They have been through the great ordeal. It's no wonder such as those had tears in their eyes. Even Jesus, the one on the throne, couldn't escape pain and suffering. As his resurrection encounter with Thomas the Sunday after Easter showed us, Jesus' wounds never left him. In his resurrections, they're still visible. If only his resurrection meant it would go away, not when the kingdom comes in its fullness, but right now. But the bodies and minds of people like Judy and Joe still seem to be subject to disease and death. My friend Zach from Chapel on the Green, who I ran into not long ago, still needs a place to live. He's been looking for steady housing for 10 years. He told me that our friend Will still hasn't found the drug treatment he needs or a job he can hold down for longer than 3 weeks. The images we all see of mothers and children in detention camps along the border are too painful to watch. The mothers in Flint still need clean water, and those in Puerto Rico are still searching for clean water and end up collecting rainwater for drinking and showering. Suffering and death. If we share nothing else, all of us have those things in common. So then who do we say Jesus is? Who is this God who loves us? Today's gospel gives us one answer. This is the God who leads us and loves us enough to take us from the world of virtual reality of life without pain into the truth that we are not the masters of the universe who can snap our fingers and have God obey us that we think we are. We are poor, suffering sheep, so badly in need of a wise and compassionate shepherd. The God we want, the God we fashion from our own desires and hopes and dreams, the God we bargain with, that we cajole, that we make demands of, seems not to pay a whole lot of attention to our prayers. That God doesn't answer our wants as we think God should. God answers us in God's way, loving us so much that in Jesus he became one of us, lived among us, and walked with us deep into the human condition. He endured terrible suffering, living it with us, dying for us. Of course, like the disciples, we might have thought that was the end of the story, but our God is full of surprises. Death could not hold him. The lamb that was slain is risen from the dead, and now has become at once God's lamb and our shepherd. How do we know him? How do we recognize his voice? He is alive everywhere, all around us, if we look for him. He looks like Dominic, a formerly incarcerated man I met at the divinity school last month, who told me that he was found by Jesus when he was in jail. And now, after serving his term, he fights on the ground for his brothers still in prison, an activist advocating for prison reform. He took the job delivering pizza because he says, money can't buy what I need. Jesus and I deliver pizza because I can connect on the ground level with lots of people that way. I'll get them on board with prison reform and maybe even prayer. You wouldn't believe how many people order pizza, he says. All I need is 10 minutes with anybody. Jesus looks like the ongoing Black Lives Matter movement, where people of all colors and sizes and shapes fight for justice and housing and jobs where now there seems to be no way. Like the Me Too movement, where people of all colors and shapes and sizes struggle for equity for women, all know that God is on their side. Jesus smells like fresh bread and simmering spaghetti sauce at Amistad Catholic Worker House in New Haven, where every day people from all walks of life who are hungry for the nourishment of food and fellowship share breakfast and lunch and Bible study. Every day, all people are welcome there. Jesus' touch is like clean wool socks on swollen, tired feet that have walked endless, lonely miles in dark nights. Jesus' voice sounds like the teacher who reminds the five-year-olds in her class that we don't throw sand, that all are welcome and valued in this playground. His voice sounds like my dad, telling me he loved me for the one and only time in my life, minutes before he died. Jesus is with us everywhere. But do we recognize him? We are often so busy with our to-do list that we don't see or hear him. Truly, we are lost sheep, prone to listen to the wrong voices, too easily serving the wrong gods. Some days it looks like the suffering is all there is, but in Jesus' resurrection, we have witnessed God's surprise. And though the human story continues, we know now that whatever brings death and pain will never have the last word. Christ is risen. How about the Lord is risen indeed first? The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. He is risen. He is alive. Our good shepherd comes and calls and cares for us and offers us new life every day. But we have to be on the lookout and be listening for the voice that is the voice of compassion and mercy and love in order to recognize him. And it can be hard. There are so many scammers out there, voices saying, follow me, do it my way. Voices which lead us to death instead of new life. It's our job together. We need each other to be able to help sort out the voice of the shepherd. It's hard to do sometimes what we are called to do, to stand with the motherless when it is at some cost to ourselves. But this is the good news. Our shepherd keeps on calling us, is always with us. Nothing will snatch us out of his hand. He forgives us when we stumble and fall, picking us up so that we can start all over again in the way of love and compassion, sacrifice and service, leading us deeper into the knowledge and love of God, because this is the way out of death into life. Jesus is the shepherd whose voice calls us to him, unites us as one flock, and gives us the courage and strength that we need in the great ordeal. He is the one who leads us out of death into the surprise of Easter life. Unlike Rachel Held Evans, Judy lived, not just breathing, but for her, a whole new life. Her brush with death gave both Judy and Joe new eyes to see Jesus right in the middle of the muck when life can be at its worst. That's where we go to find him, they'll tell you now. We are no longer followers of whatever that thing called the American dream is. We are followers of God's dream for us, the God who forgives us our doubts and our questions and says, yes, you belong to me. No one, nothing can snatch you out of my hand. I am with you in good times and bad, and I need you to shepherd the lost and the lonely and keep them in my fold. This is true life, life lived in the heart of God, in love and joy and gratitude as one flock, even in the midst of suffering. Life lived with the God who turns our sorrow into joy, our mourning into dancing. So on this Mothering Sunday, whether it is a day of gladness for you or a day of sorrow, rest secure in God's love. Proclaim Christ's resurrection. Follow his call. Be empowered by his Holy Spirit. You are his sheep, and you are a shepherd of his people. Now today, let us go out together, rejoicing in the one who called us to be a part of his flock. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Amen.